42 stores worldwide. Eisner loved to drop in unannounced, and he and Wells showered Burke with notes containing suggestions and criticism. Burke, just 30 years old, suddenly found himself a featured executive at board meetings. He thought he'd found the perfect job. He loved walking down Main Street in Disneyland with his wife and kids, feeling he was an important part of the company. Nor was Burke the only young executive whose fortune soared in the new regime. Bill Mechanic, a young executive from Paramount, had followed Eisner and Katzenberg to Disney, hoping to become a movie producer. After he arrived, he met with Katzenberg. "We've got good news and bad news," Katzenberg said. "We have a great job for you, but it's not what you want." "What?" Mechanic asked. "Home video." His spirits sank. Mechanic didn't even own a video recorder, nor was there much of a market for selling videotapes of movies. They were expensive, and most people rented them at a retail outlet. But with an infant daughter at home, Mechanic thought maybe he could sell the classics as high-priced collectibles. After Pinocchio's theatrical re-release, Eisner and Wells had convened a meeting to discuss releasing Pinocchio on video the following summer. At first, the very idea of selling any of the Disney classics seemed anathema. If American households were filled with video cassettes of the Disney classics, why would families come to theaters every 7 years? The films might lose their aura of exclusivity and seem like any other movie. The fledgling Disney cable channel was also counting on airing the classics to attract viewers. Moreover, mass marketing videos might cheapen the Disney image. Roy was opposed to the idea, and Katzenberg, too, felt it was a mistake. Wells conceded that there are overwhelming reasons not to do this, but it's important to have the debate. After his arrival, Mechanic was the most forceful advocate for pushing ahead with video sales, and, as a parent, Eisner was skeptical that Disney videos would become collector's items handed down from one generation to the next. He could never figure out where all of his own children's toys and books went, but in time, they disappeared. Finally, the group decided on a compromise approach. Disney would offer Pinocchio for sale on video, but at such a high price, $79.95, that almost no one besides video rental outlets could afford to buy it. This would force viewers to rent copies, and sales would be confined to a limited period, at which point the title would be retired to await a new generation. But initial sales at such a high price were modest. In August, Mechanic decided to experiment by slashing the price to $29.95 and relaunching Pinocchio with a marketing campaign that included network television ads. He ended up spending over $7 million, an unheard-of amount for a video. His superiors were too busy to pay much attention, but Katzenberg and Rich Frank, the chief operating officer of the studio, were distressed when they found out the ad budget. "Why are you spending money on a market that's pre-sold?" Frank demanded, referring to the fact that everyone already knew about Pinocchio. "We've got to change consumer habits," Mechanic argued. "It's not that easy." Pinocchio sold out its 1.7 million units. So Mechanic asked for Cinderella, which was that year's Christmas release. Pinocchio was one thing, but Cinderella was a core classic. Katzenberg, backed by Roy, vetoed the idea. Mechanic took the issue to Eisner and Wells, who agreed the issue needed to be debated.